You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your confidant on all things, period. I can keep a secret for you. You are joining us today. I'm very happy to have you here. You're sharing time with us, and I always appreciate it. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Have a great show ahead for you today. After the 9:30 news, we're going to be speaking to a writer, an independent journalist named Cam TB, about an article she wrote for Tone Madison regarding a decision from U.S. Rowing on transgender athletes in their sport and how the policy is affecting the sport, the participants, and the overarching message for trans folks here in the country. But we'll be speaking to her at 9:35 this morning. And then at 10 to kick off the hour, we'll be back introducing to you an interview that we did yesterday with Senator Tammy Baldwin, talking on about her efforts regarding the funding measures on DHS, the partial shutdown, as well as her thoughts on a bill that we're going to talk about in a moment that has to do with limiting voting, disenfranchising voting, intimidation of voting versus what it proposes to do that it will actually help voting. So we'll talk more about that actually in a moment. That comes up after 10 o'clock, 10:35. Audio sorbet. I'm going to keep the tone going. Bruce Springsteen has a new song out. It's a reworking of an old song. It's regarding Minneapolis. And I just want to know from you, what are your favorite protest songs? Is it the common one? Is it the one that we all know? Is there a protest song out there that we don't know about? Is there a song that we see as just a fun tune that you hear a message in there talking about an issue that's deeper than we understand? Just, we want to know about that at 10:35. What's your favorite protest song? And do you think they're still around? I feel like they're still there. It's just got to, we dig a little deeper to find those great tunes out there. But that's at 10:35. And then we close it all out with a handy tip from Greg. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time. But let's kick it over to the conversation about elections and voting here in Wisconsin and abroad. If you were not aware, over the past couple of days, President Donald Trump has said that the federal government needs to take over our election processes in the face of what he believes is rigging, vote rigging, bad processes, bad everything. He doesn't think that the states are doing it correctly. He believes that the federal government needs to step in and take over control of the election process. This is coming out of the Wisconsin Examiner. Jacob Fischler has the byline. Trump doubles down on calling for the feds to take over state elections. He called for it on Tuesday and the day before to take over all of the elections going out throughout the country. For the second time in as many days, he's indicated he wants the federal government to get more involved. He has renewed concerns over the expansion. This issue renews concerns over Trump's expansion of presidential powers, which critics of his second presidency have labeled authoritarian. I want to know right off the bat here, you know, and I actually like to know from people who don't, you know, who think this is a good idea. I know there are folks out there who's saying this is terrible. It's a bad idea for all the reasons that I could say out loud. I still want to hear from you. Please speak your heart, live stream comment, leave a comment there, text it in, call it in, want to hear from you. But this just brings up the topic again about the election process. First of all, there are reasons why states run elections, because it's a very, very complicated process and every state does it differently. But as we've seen through numerous counts, through numerous reports, through numerous investigations, that these processes go correctly. If there are problems, they fix it, and we do not have any sort of evidence showing that this needs to be happening. Period. Not whatsoever. Our elections are safe here in Wisconsin. If you ask Robin Voss, he'll tell you that. He said it out loud. You ask people from, say, the League of Women Voters, talked to Deb Cromiller dozens of times at this point, There are reasons why the states handle the elections one by one instead of the federal government doing. Not to mention, like, just from an economic standpoint, okay, how are we going to afford this? Where does the money come to implement an entire election process set up from start to finish, from ballot issuing to the counting of the last ballot going through the machine on election day, election night? And let's face it, if this was to happen, we wouldn't be getting results for a while, because a federally run program, this would be its first test in 2026, the midterm. Some say, well, this is good. It's not a presidential election. Therefore, we can kick the tires and work out all the problems. No, that's not how that works, because it's a daunting enough process for one state to do it, who has to work with municipalities all within. Now you have one government entity running every single state with every single municipality within. That adds so much more complication to it that I don't know about you, but I would say that if the federal government were to run the elections, it would probably be a solid 20 years before a system would be in place that would be considered, quote, smooth. How much is this going to cost? Why are we doing this? Again, this is a solution in search of a problem. This problem does not exist. This is a problem that is not worth talking about, but we are, because the president is talking about it. And while his press secretary is telling reporters to their faces that he was joking, he keeps talking about it. He keeps talking about nationalizing our elections, because he thinks to this day he still lost. He still won in 2020, and any state he lost, period, he has won because of rigged elections, because of bad actors. But that is not the case. You can raid Fulton County all you want. You're going to find that these ballots were counted correctly. The Republican Secretary of State, the Republican AG, the Republican governor, they all said that the process went smoothly. But here we are again talking about it, because these are the distractions we need. And I know that I'm giving air to these distractions. I get that. But it's important to keep this in mind, because these aren't like, you know, this isn't shiny red ball. Look over there. This is using things like our federal, using our election processes to take our attention away to things like the fact that 3 million pages of the Epstein files were just released and the president's name appears a lot. The fact that the big bill for billionaire went through, and we are going to be gutting our federal safety nets for rich people to have even more money in their pockets. They are very big distractions, but that's what they are at the end of the day. We got to keep our attention on all these things. We got to keep our attentions on this problem too. And I'm not the only one who doesn't think it's a good idea. And I really bring it up because in the Wisconsin Public Radio, Rich Kremer's writing here, Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson opposes Trump's call for Republicans to take over elections. Because that's the thing. See, that's the other problem, is at first it was the federal government. Now it's this mixture of, well, Republicans should do it. At first it was 15 states should have it run by the government. I'm going to let you guess which 15 states it was. Now it's the federal government. So it's all this thing of like him speaking at a desk, you know, the Republicans should take over. Okay, well, why should they take over only 15 states? Again, this is a conversation that is set up to distract. And it is a conversation that is set up to threaten our very safe election processes. And Republican Ron Johnson from here in Wisconsin said yesterday that he doesn't agree with President Trump's call for Republicans to nationalize elections, but he voiced his support for limits on voting, including requiring proof of citizenship and scaling back on absentee ballots. That's where the conversation gets even wider, because we are now introducing all of these levels of intimidation, suppression, and just limitations on what is guaranteed in our Constitution. And by the way, it is said in the Constitution that the federal government doesn't run elections. He doesn't have that power, but somehow this conversation persists. And I say all this because we are in an election year. We will be going to the polls. Some of you might be going to the polls later this month on the 17th. for your primaries. Then we'll have April elections. Then we'll be right back here in fall for primaries again. And then we'll be right back here in late fall, early winter time for the midterm elections, where we will be voting for Congress members, voting for Assembly, Speaker, Assembly, and State Senate members. And the more they can muddy up the conversation on what is and isn't acceptable in the election process, the bigger problems we can have on election night when they're trying to count ballots. And folks who may be facing serious challenges, like Derek Van Orten, who has been outraised by Rebecca Cook, calling for, you know, recounts. This is rigged. Going to the courts to say, you know, we need to look at all of the evidence here. And we did this all in 2020. 63 cases, I believe. Over 60 cases went to court. All but one, I believe, said nothing happened or wasn't even worthy on merit to be presented for any sort of case to be seen. When Ron Johnson is opposed, I guess to me is like when Ron Johnson opposes Donald Trump, that's worthy of a discussion. When Ron Johnson stands up and says, this is not correct, this is wrong, we shouldn't be doing this, I think that's worthy of discussion. Now, will he be thinking that in, say, a month's time? I don't know. But he's said it now, and I believe it's worthy of that further conversation, while always keeping our other eye on the ball that is the Epstein files, which is the big bill for billionaires, which is your SNAP benefits. We talk about SNAP benefits. We can't not talk about Derek Van Orten lying to us three times with his votes. But we cannot allow these folks who have no proof whatsoever to walk into our polling places, into our states, into this state here, and say, well, we're going to be doing it now. Okay. How? With what money? What's your process? There is no process, by the way. There's no plan. There never is a plan. It's always, we should do that. You figure it out later. And I want to know what you think about this. I think I know what you think about this, but I'd love to hear from people, whether it's on the text line or the phone line or the live stream, what you think of this. If you agree, if you think, yes, we need tighter control, we need limited balloting options, we need limited absentee options, we need paper ballots only, citizenship proof, voter ID nationwide. Why do you think we need these? Where is the proof that says that these are necessary? Where is the proof at all that says these were ever needed in the first place to be brought up? In the case of voter ID, if you know me, you know my thoughts on voter ID. I think it's absolutely a sham. I think it's a problem. It's a solution in search of a problem. And I feel like it was sold as a bill of goods to people on the state constitution as a way of saying, we're just making sure it's all good. When no one understood, a lot of people didn't understand the implications of what voter ID actually is and why we do not need it at all. But that's me ranting off. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. We're talking about President Trump calling for the nationalization of our voting, of our elections, and Ron Johnson doesn't agree with it, but he does also think that there should be certain limitations because, hey, the Constitution is just a piece of paper, right? It's fun. It's 250 years old. We can do without it, can't we? We can just take all the amendments off we want except for two. That's it. It'll just be the Second Amendment. That's it. All right. More to come on Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, and the guy who will, I'll help you move if you need to. I'll be there. It's fine. Just give me pizza. But we are here on the show today. You are here with us today. We appreciate your time. You are giving us your precious time, and we are talking about all the things happening here in Wisconsin. Well, not all of them. There's just too many things to discuss. Do not forget, after the 9:30 news, we'll be speaking to Cam TB, who is an independent journalist, discussing an article she wrote for Tome Madison on a policy change from U.S. rowing that is basically seeks to exclude trans and non-binary folks from the sport. Talking more about that decision, that issuing, how it relates to other sports, as well as how it just relates to America here and the safety people who identify as trans feel when walking around on our streets. And then at 10 o'clock, after the 10 o'clock news, we'll be speaking with Tammy Baldwin, playing for you an interview we recorded yesterday, but this is about her efforts to seek common sense guardrails on ice through DHS funding. We'll also be talking about a development here that just came up this morning from CBS News. It's reported that 700 federal immigration officers are being withdrawn from the Twin Cities immediately. We'll talk more about that as we know it, but that'll be coming up at the 10 o'clock news. Then 10:35, protest songs. What are the ones you love? What are the ones that are out there that we don't know about? And are there good ones that are out, you know, being put out by modern artists? Is the protest song still alive here in America? We'll talk about that. And then a handy tip from Greg rounding out the show. But right now we're talking about the comments from the president regarding nationalization of our elections. Why? And one person who disagrees with it is Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, who believes that this is not something that needs to happen. He voices his support for limits on voting, but he does not think that the Republicans or the federal government need to nationalize our election processes. And I wanted to hear from you. Tony on the live stream says, no, we need more people voting. We all know why Republicans are pushing for those reforms. And that's something we've always said, is that look at the group of individuals who are consistently pushing to limit our voting process, our voting ability, whether it's voter ID, early voting, paper ballots, online registration. Look at the people who are proposing these measures and ask yourselves, why are they doing this consistently? Why is it always happening from one group of individuals? Why are they so afraid of people voting? Why are they so afraid of the voice of the people, which we cast through the ballot, which is guaranteed through the Constitution? And if you have serious concerns on that, I would like for you to provide to me the proof that shows that our state-run elections are so irrevocably broken that we must have nationalization, or at the very least, processes that seek to intimidate and disenfranchise and otherwise limit our constitutionally guaranteed right to vote. That's what I would love to know, period. That's it. So tell me. I'd love to hear from you. If you disagree with me, that's fine. Absolutely fine. Just bring the proof. Show the work. That's what I require, and I would really like from you. Give me that good work. Gene on the phone has been very, very patient. Good morning, Gene. How is it up there in Eau Claire? Are you staying warm, friend?
Yes, I am. I'm staying warm because I'm listening to you, so thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Now, we're lucky to have you. You know, I'm just going to say something that my grandfather probably would say, it stinks to high heaven.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the only way, it is the only means that we have to fire the agent of chaos and death and illness and all the things that are happening in our country right now. It's not a pretty picture every day. There's more and more things happening. And the mask people going after our neighbors, just sick. The way that he's spending money left and right and threatening all the different countries that, you know, might not be safe someday for our Americans to travel anywhere. He's totally wrecking our credibility. The only means we have is our elections, and he needs to keep his hands off. And I think even Republicans know right now he threatens them if he doesn't vote the way that they want him to, you know, and things like that. And a lot of those Republicans won their seats when he lost. And so there was nothing wrong with those elections. So there's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. You have a great day, okay?
You as well, Gene. Thank you so much for calling. And that's a great point that Gene brings up, is that we're always only talking about one candidate. We don't call into question whether or not. So if your person won and they're a Republican, then do we call into question the fact that they won? Because if this is a rigged election, it's rigged for everybody. And then we just do it over. It goes back to, like, we can make these statements. We can say it's rigged. We can say it's broken. We can say it's bad. But really, when you show no proof, you show no plan, then it really just, again, becomes a distraction that we have to address, because we're talking about threatening the process of voting guaranteed to us by the Constitution, whether we're talking about the SAVE Act or we're talking about the Make Elections Great Again bill, that one being brought by Brian Stile from the 1st Congressional District. He is our congressman here in Wisconsin. These all seek to limit your ability to vote. And another point that I'm never going to stop harping on is the fact that this affects everybody. These limitations affect everyone, no matter who you vote for. Whether you don't have an ID or a passport, how you provide proof of citizenship. If you are a woman who got married, you have to change all your identifications so you can vote. I mean, like, these are all solutions that have no problem. These don't work, and they only provide bigger problems. And then when you say these are bigger problems, they say, well, you don't love America. You don't care about, I do care about voting. I think everyone should be able to vote who is legally allowed to do it. It should be able to walk in, register on the day. I say provide no ID because there are mechanisms in place to work with that. But the more we introduce to limit it, the worse it becomes. And never take your eye off the people who are actually introducing these measures. When we come back, we have Cam TB, a writer from Madison, talking about her article on trans exclusionary policies from the U.S. Rowing Group. Very interesting conversation. Don't go anywhere. Come on back. Grab some snacks. Grab some waters. Civic Media Mid-Mornings here. I'm Greg Bock. Stay tuned and stay close. Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bock. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your co-conspirator, and all things amazing. Because guess what? You're amazing. You're spending your time with us today. I really appreciate you. Got a great show still ahead after the 10 o'clock news. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin will be here. We did an interview with her yesterday. We'll be playing that conversation for you regarding her efforts to impose common sense guardrails on ICE through DHS funding measures, as well as the partial shutdown of the U.S. government that's going on right now, as well as information on a story that's developing out of Minneapolis and the drawdown of 700 ICE agents in Minneapolis. So we'll talk more about that. She'll also be discussing her opinion on the Make Elections Great Again bill from Wisconsin Congressman Brian Stile. If you can't hear that, I'm side-eyeing the world about that. But yeah, we got more great, great show ahead. If you ever want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube, the platform we still call Twitter. And do not forget Audio Sorbet, where we're talking about your favorite protest songs. Where are the good protest songs out there? And is the protest song alive and well here in America? All that coming up, so don't go anywhere. But now I want to turn our attention to what I believe is a huge problem in this country, but it's presented through the lens of a very specific sport. If you haven't seen this already, we're going to be talking about an article in Tone Madison discussing a matter of the U.S. Rowing's new policy that was enacted last month in December. But I'm going to bring on now the author of that, the writer of that article. Cam TB is our guest this morning. Cam, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. For anyone who doesn't know, Cam is an independent journalist from Madison and also a recreational rower. And I had so many words to talk about how I feel about this article that I sort of just jumbled my way into your introduction. So I apologize first off, but yeah. Thank you so much for being here today, Cam. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. So let's start off from the very beginning. Why don't you talk to us, for those who haven't read the article? It's in Tone Madison. That article will be in our show notes today. So if you want to access that information, I will get that for you all. Talk about the policy that came from the U.S. Rowing Group last December. And yeah, just give us an overall idea of what's happening in the world of U.S. rowing as it pertains to America, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last December, U.S. rowing kind of quietly made a change to their rowing policy. They now decided that transgender women and non-binary people, kind of so-called assigned male at birth, are mm-hmm. no longer able to compete in the women's category. And that's regardless of their transition status or their hormone levels or legal documentation. Just straight up, it's a categorical ban. And they kind of pitched it in a way where they're saying now that affected athletes are now allowed to either compete in the men's category, which they've now opened to like everybody, or the like a mixed category, which they said is supposed to kind of have a 50-50, like air quotes, lots of sarcasm, natal men and women split, where they would be counted as men. So this is not like a new thing, actually. This is kind of, it hasn't, it's not even just in the last year. I think, especially globally, there's been a lot of different kind of sports consortiums and organizations that have kind of adopted these rules. This is like part of an ongoing like discourse and kind of in America, like a both an executive and legislative push to get trans people out of sports.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that was, you know, it goes on in the article that you wrote that this is, it says to align with the executive order 14201, which I'll also have in the show notes for people to read, which I recommend you reading. It's amazing language, how they try to frame this topic. It really, the question I have for you is this something that, you know, your knowledge of rowing and this organization, is this something that they wanted to do, or is this something that they're doing in fear of? Because you see a lot of groups, organizations, businesses capitulating to this administration because they're afraid of the consequences. But is that the case, or has this been in the works? Is this something you felt in the culture that, you know, trans and non-binary folk just not welcome?
I think it's interesting. I can only speculate, obviously, but I think you can see that actually recently, I think I read last week an article, I think in like them.us, about the Women's Hockey League just recently also kind of instituted a similar ban. And that'll affect their, like basically after the season, it's going to start its effect in like April. Mm-hmm. Very similarly, it wasn't publicized. I think their headline also used the word quietly. Yeah. I think part of it seems like kind of like, I mean, these are big legal organizations and they kind of want to toe the line. And like, especially when it comes to like PR and like legality, they don't want to stick their neck out too much.
Yeah,
is what it seems like to me. But obviously there has been a transphobic sentiment in sports. I mean, especially sports like hockey, you know, famously kind of can be a homophobic sport, and homophobia and transphobia is just part of our culture. So I think there's definitely, it's definitely of two pieces.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about this topic of trans folks and non-binary folks in sport, I feel like the conversation, you know, in the conversation about how this country feels about trans folks, that's the big conversation. But when we talk about trans folks in sports, we tend to get into these very, very deep discussions. And then someone always says, but there are not many trans people in this country, period. Even less play sports, even less have like, you know, membership in these organizations. So really what we're doing, and I spoke about it earlier, is we are creating, quote, solutions that have no problem, that need these solutions. And the matter for me is that, like, when U.S. Rowing comes out and does it, this is U.S. Rowing and rowing in general, as you put in the article, is not a hugely popular sport in this country.
No.
And therefore, like, I personally feel like them coming out and saying this, it's like, how many people does this actually affect in the rowing culture where they felt like it was such a big problem? Well, we got to do something about this. Trans folks and non-binary folks in rowing is rampant. We got to handle this. I mean, it felt like, again, a solution in search of a problem.
Yes. I mean, it's definitely become part of this like culture war issue that doesn't have a lot of reflection in reality. Personally, like, I agree with you, like, it is a really small group of people, but I also think that sometimes when we do that, it's like understandable, but it's not a very convincing argument, because it doesn't say that, like, it doesn't really argue with the logic of these bans. It's mostly just treating trans people like an edge case that deserves special treatment, rather than like, you know, actually being like, well, these bans, one, like, are new. This is before this year. U.S. Rowing's policy was just for like, this is not just elite level. This is like, this goes from youth all the way to like this is like high school, collegiate, all the way to like Olympic level, like has that those implications, right? But this ban is for all of those.
Yes.
And like even before U.S. rowing had like doping mechanisms in place and stuff like that. And before the policy was that you can row on the team that matches like your gender,
mm-hmm.
like straight up. And it's like one of those things where the people who are against trans rowers and trans athletes in general are just grasping at straws and looking for like some like perfect piece of evidence that will show that actually there's been a secret cabal of transgender athletes dominating the sport for ages to justify why this is doing it. When in reality, like the policy already existed.
Yeah.
It was fine. They're just trying to create it into a problem.
Go on, Cam.
Oh, and just because of a lack of, I think, bravery and commitment from one, our like media, and two, our politicians, I think that narrative has been able to slide because it's convenient.
And I want to get to that in a few minutes of that, what you just said, because that is addressed in the article as well. If you're just joining us on Civic Media Mid-Mornings, we are speaking to independent journalist and recreational rower, Cam TB. I just want to read this really quick because I just find it absolutely wonderful. At the bottom of the article is, Cam is a writer in Madison, ex-barista, current bird watcher. In her spare time, she enjoys rowing, hiking, and playing darts. I just love that. That's very Wisconsin. But Cam, I think that, you know, when you bring up the thing about kids too, I think that this is all being used to reframe the misinformation on what young people go through when they start their transitioning process. We've spoken to doctors on this show. We've spoken to experts, people from Human Rights Coalition, and it's that misinformation of children going to, I mean, the president said it in an election year. He said kids are going to school as a boy on Tuesday and coming back as a girl the next day. And this both misinformation and misunderstanding of what young people go through when they are going through their transition process being framed by things like this that purport itself to say we're protecting the children when really they're not. Mm-hmm. They're really opening them up to bigger problems. Am I correct?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm 30 years old.
Yeah,
I grew up like in the like early 2000s, mm-hmm. and like I was in high school in like 2008, 2009, and there's definitely like it was not a great time to be out as queer in school, but
mm-hmm.
I feel really for this current like generation of children, because like, even though I think in some ways, like there's more knowledge of what's happening and like who trans people are and kind of like these issues, I think there is a huge push by adults, not other children, by adults, to bully these children into going back in the closet. And I think that's really hard. And I think the social ostracism has profound implications for transgender youth. And like, I do think it's a worse environment in some ways. We're kind of telling children that you're not old enough to make a decision to transition or mm-hmm. even just explore your gender. Like the stuff they're angry about is kids like dressing not like air quotes like, you know, traditionally masculine or feminine, but like it's also just like you can't play on a team with your friends, you can't dress the way you want, you can't like use a different name or have a certain haircut. But then we tell them that when you're older you can make this decision, even if your parents support you, even if you have like a doctor and, you know, all of the oversight that implies. But then when you're 19, they tell you you're too marred by puberty to ever hope of being accepted as who you are.
So you might as well just be who you are because this is who you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with kind of the return of like conversion therapy and those kinds of issues that like have never been gone away, but I think they're trying to make them socially acceptable again.
We're going to keep the conversation going with Cam TB, that she is an independent journalist and author of the article in Tone Medicine entitled U.S. Rowing's Trans Exclusionary Policies Only Divide Us All. We're talking more about this. We're going to talk about our politicians, our quote, leaders, air quotes there, boom, air quotes. More with Cam and me on Civic Media Mid-Mornings. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your co-conspirator, and all things letting you know that that shirt makes your eyes pop. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Appreciate your time. Don't forget, after the 10 o'clock news, we have got an interview we did with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin on her fight to provide common sense guardrails for ICE through DHS funding and what that has to do with the partial shutdown of the government, what the House vote yesterday will influence upon that, as well as her opinions on the Make Elections Great Again bill proposed by Mr. Brian Stile, Congress member of the 1st District here in Wisconsin. All of that after the 10 o'clock news. We've packed that all into like a 12-minute interview. She's very, very busy, but we got things going. It's going to be great. Then we've got more information on the news out of Minneapolis, the drawdown of troops. I should call them troops. They're ICE agents. They're just dudes in masks. 700 troops, again, out of Minneapolis, 700 ICE agents. What that means and where we're going as that announcement from Tom Holman was done this morning before we went on the air. And then Audio Sorbet, what are your favorite protest songs? It's a great show, folks. Just stick around. Let me know what you're thinking. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still with our guest, Cam TB, independent journalist and author of the article in Tone Medicine entitled U.S. Rowing's Trans Exclusionary Policies Only Divide Us All. And one of the things you brought up, Cam, in the previous segment, and I want to touch on, is looking towards our politicians to actually be leaders. And Republicans have made it very, very clear where they stand on this issue. I don't know of a single Republican, whether it's in Wisconsin or, you know, someone in Washington who looks at these policies, these trans exclusionary policies, and says, well, yeah, this is no, we can do some work here. There's room for wiggle here. No, they're very, this is what it is. Get on board or get out of town. But when it comes to the Democrats and liberals, you say something very interesting. You say, we are not wanted, a hated scapegoat for the Republicans, and a political inconvenience for Democrats. What do you mean by that sentence when you say that, specifically to the Democrats? Because I have my opinions, but I'd rather hear yours first.
I think often, like, trans rights is kind of used as like a point of negotiation to moderates or conservatives to try to get them, to find a middle ground, because it seemed to be as kind of a popular position.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually don't think that's really true. And there's surveys, obviously surveys, not always 100% accurate, but I think it's showing that the public has more variants of opinions on this issue than they think. Like, it's seen as like just like they're, I think it's trying to be portrayed as like a common sense thing. Like, there's like this backlash to like extreme air quotes like wokeness,
yeah,
and stuff like that. That I think that there are some more conservative Democrats that are seeing and trying to see that as a way of appealing across the aisle. But I think that's really overstated. I think especially after the election, the like people were obsessed with the Kamala is for they them ad.
Yeah,
it's really like cited as a key factor in the 2024 loss. But I think it was a very unusual campaign for a lot of reasons.
Yes,
and there was problems with the campaign, of course, but they were completely silent about trans issues. And I don't think that's why they lost. Like, they didn't say anything. Like,
no.
And when you don't say anything, I think that actually leaves you more open to attack on that part. Yeah.
I mean, and that, and I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, I think saying that the Harris campaign lost because of this, an acceptance of they, thems, and trans people, is as legitimate reason as saying, well, we have to protect girls and women in sports because they're infesting our athletes with, you know. No, it's not. It's a false equivalent. It's a terrible use of points. She lost for the reason she lost. It's many. It's varied. It's layered. But yeah, trans people and they, thems are not why she lost. And that is ridiculous to say out loud. And you're absolutely right. The silence was deafening on that end as well. And it tends to be. It tends to be a thing of, well, Cam, we would have loved to have done something, but you're just going to have to figure out how to live a little bit longer in fear. And we'll get to you eventually. When the support's too overwhelming and we feel safe saying something, then we'll say something and we'll be heroes. Thumbs up. All right. That is something that Absolutely. Very deeply angers me. I guess, you know, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I just want to say, like, as far as where we are now, as far as this policy, sports in general, everything, what are your thoughts on it? Like, I mean, what should we expect? How should we act as far as talking to our leaders? I'm looking to you for advice as the article's author.
I think, you know, and just to be like topical about it, I think people want politicians who actually believe in things and support things that improve their lives. Yeah. I could only, like, you know, obviously Wisconsin is a very different place, but like in New York, you have Zoran Mamdani, who, you know, he is very popular because he's like talking to his constituents and like asking them like what will improve the city and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think these trans sports bans improve anybody's lives. Like I said in the article, like for the people against the trans sports bans, it's really whether they happen or not, they just go about their day. It doesn't really affect them. But obviously this has a major impact for trans people and like what you can do on the day to day. And I think their families and their friends and the people who care about them, they see the silence and they see the complicity and it makes you lose faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's just generally like a problem. I think you see candidates who are like already vying for the nomination, like Rahm Emanuel and Gavin Newsom, it kind of like saying provocative things about this to kind of edge closer to the right. But
yeah, Cam, I'm sorry. We got to hit the break here real quick, but I would appreciate you being here. I thank you for your time. Cam Teebe is an independent journalist, author of the article U.S. Rowing's Trans Exclusionary Policies Only Divide Us All. That will be on the show notes. You're listening to Civic Media Mid Mornings. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. Tammy Baldwin after the news.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.